Hey everyone, how are you? Welcome to this week's episode of our podcast. It's called Is Breakfast Included? Thanks for stopping by. Now, before I tell you who's on the show, I'd like to welcome our new sponsor, Tone Shop Guitars. Tone Shop Guitars is Dallas-Fort Worth's largest independently owned music store. They have three locations. They carry all the major brands of electric guitars, acoustic guitars, basses, pedals, accessories. Check them out. If you haven't checked them out, go to toneshopguitars.com. Check out what they do online. And if you use the code BREAKFAST15 on your first order, you'll receive 15% off. But I'll do you one better. If you tell them that Bernie and Lisa sent you, they're going to throw in a free shirt for your first order. So make sure you check them out. toneshopguitars.com. On the show this week, we talked to Nick De La Cruz. Now, Nick is this social media personality. He has a YouTube channel, TikTok channel, Instagram, all this called This is De La Cruz, where he does on-site interviews of audio technicians, backline technicians. He interviews roadies or technicians, depending on what they want to be called. He's a great guy. He takes us back to where he started. He had an interesting childhood when he started playing in bands, when he started touring as an audio guy, got a little crazy, had to leave, and then he joined the military. Did that for several years, and now here he is in his third act being a social media presence. He's a great guy. We connected. We talked. He's got an interesting story, so please, please check it out. Nick De La Cruz, let's check it out. Tell everyone who you are and what you do.
I am Nick De La Cruz. I have a social media under This is De La Cruz. My real job is I'm a rep. So I just moved to the Atlanta area, and I'm the Georgia rep for sure, and for Alan Heath and HOSA and RME, EAW, DB Tech. So I just recently moved here to do that job, but I started this whole YouTube and social media thing on the side, and it's kind of taken off.
Right on, man. Yeah. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Washington State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you come from Washington State all the way to Atlanta?
No, I didn't. So I started, I was in Washington State for many years, and that's where I started my touring side. So I come from a musical family. My family, my dad owned a recording studio and record label. My mom owned a talent agency, and she was a vocal coach. And I wanted to be a musician like everybody else. I wanted to be a rock star, but they had been in the industry for a while. And they said, if you're going to do it, do the technical route. So I kind of split the difference and went live audio. Mm-hmm. Started at the very beginning and started pushing boxes, worked doing local labor. From there, went to a patch guy. From patch guy, went to a monitor engineer. From monitor engineer, went to front of house, did some production managing stuff, and did that for many years. And I ended up quitting about 13 years ago and got sober. So it was a tough spot, because my entire life was revolved around touring, and that was who I wanted to be. And I realized that I needed to separate myself from that entire industry, and I joined the military. So I spent 9 years active duty, got stationed down in Norfolk, Virginia for 5 years. I drove an aircraft carrier there, the navigation, and then I got orders to Millington, Tennessee. And I didn't want to go there. And they told me there's a reason they call them orders and not suggestions. You're going to Millington, Tennessee. And I went there and I became an investigator. So I started tracking down military deserters and did prisoner transports, which was crazy in itself. We could do a whole podcast on that subject, but
we may have to eventually.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting, especially during COVID. I was doing 6 flights a week through COVID. So I got to see everything go. I mean, Pearl Harbor, all of it during the time. And I wanted to get out of the military. So I wanted to do a proof of concept and start a production company. And my business partner owned a company called Beale Street Blues Company. So in a short amount of time, I was doing all the B.B. King's blues clubs, Lafayette's, and Ibanez. We're on 10 cruise ships with Holland America. I just started skyrocketing. I'm sorry, I'm giving you kind of a long
No. That's what here. Yeah.
He ended up, he passed away and his wife passed away. And I realized that he had a $50 million business and it was very good, but I realized I just didn't want to be him. I didn't want to be alone in a hospital bed on the phone with my accountant. So that was really a moment in my life. And I was doing military full time at a production company. I was also the technical director for Bill Street Blues Company. And I was just traveling all the time. And all it was for, I was justifying it for my family. And I was gone. But my wife just wanted me home.
Yeah.
So I really had to figure out what is happiness, what does contentment mean? And I realized that most of it's not necessarily monetary. So I ended up leaving the military and left the production company, went to work for a manufacturer called Triad Orbit. They make all the stands and clamps and adapters. And started doing that. And I was in Nashville every month, Sweetwater every month, and in all the major recording studios. And we were going to pick up this company called HW Pico, a rep firm, to bring us on as a rep. And they decided to pass on Triad Orbit, but they wanted to pick me up and made me an offer. And it was an offer that you don't even counter and just take it. And that kind of got me. They asked, what's your thoughts on Atlanta? And I said, it's hot. Can I get more context to that? And like I said, they said, we need a rep down there. Would you be interested in doing that? And said, I get to be home every night and enjoy time with my family. So this is the happiest I think I've ever been. Honestly, I feel like I'm in a good spot going back from touring in a very dark
time. Yeah.
To now I'm back in the world again, but on a different side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was over a 13-year period because you said you got sober and quit touring 13 years ago. So you've done all of that over a 13-year period.
Yeah.
When you said something earlier, you're like, you know, you justify everything you do by you say you're doing it for your family. Like a lot of us cats say that, you know, like I tour for my family. I tour for this. Like, it seems like the guys or the folks who really mean it find a way out and they find a way to stay in the industry,
yeah,
but just not to be the constant, you know?
Yeah. Your why has to be greater than what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with separating yourself from that, at least mentally. You have to be okay with that, because if not, that's going to have more power over your wanting to be sober, you're wanting to be whatever else it is that will take and launch you. So I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So I'm going to take it back a minute. Your dad owned a record label. Was it an indie label? Was it something?
It was definitely independent, small one. He had a recording studio at the house. So much. I mean,
you were born into it.
I was born into it. I mean, you know how most kids have pictures of them playing sports as a kid. I had pictures of me and my dad's recording studio. So that was what I was born into. Even my mom, she was on tour with the Charlie Daniels band and several different bands. I remember my dad showing me in a Globe where my mom was at. So it was something that I definitely was born into.
Yeah. And so like a lot of us, you started pushing cases locally and getting into, yep, you know, the labor rhino
staging and went to all the events and you know, learned stage left, stage right. I mean,
yeah,
downstage, upstage, over under, all of the basics that you have to learn in order to be in the industry.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I cut my teeth as well.
Did you really?
PRR in Dallas, Texas, which is now upstaging.
Love it.
And so yeah, I was a pusher and then a loader, and then that's where over under, man. I think that's the most important thing I learned.
They taught me a ton. I'm super thankful. I even did, they taught me how to uprig too. So I spent a bunch of time climbing up on the grid and learning how to do truck packs, learning how to the proper way to do it. We have one, there's a picture that goes online on social media all the time of this trailer that has all the gear that was dumped out of it by accident. And that was actually a picture I took at one of the gigs I did, that the truck pulled away without loading bars in it. So it all came crashing down for it. So it teaches you, I mean, some hard lessons you don't want to do, or maybe it's things you want to do.
Yeah, I know early in my touring career that they the first real production manager I worked for threw me in a truck. Didn't ask if I knew how to pack a truck. He just threw me in there and he goes, all right, you're going to pack the truck tonight. And I thank him for that. He's no longer with us, but I always, to myself, I was like, thank you for making me do it.
Yeah.
For overcoming my fear. I'm like, oh, it's like Tetris.
It is. And honestly, you'll grow appreciation for those guys too. It's a tough job. It really is.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So so you did that. You played in a band, I assume.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in church too. So I was played on the worship team a lot. And I was in high school, I did jazz band and concert band. And so I was always musically, I mean, I've got instruments all around, but
yeah.
High school garage band, of course, I think everybody did, at least at that age. I noticed it's not really a thing anymore with the younger kids. I was on staff at a church and I asked a bunch of the youth there if anybody has any high school bands or garage bands. They had no clue what I was talking about. It's like, you guys don't get together and play music? It's not a thing? No, we got people with laptops and they make beats. Like,
yeah. I go to my friend's house. He's got the drums. I just record the guitar.
That was such a pivotal thing coming up. Like, we all got together. It was horrible, but it was fun. We did battle of bands and all. I guess it's not a thing now.
It's a thing of the past. And, you know, you always had that one kid whose parents were cool enough to let you set up in their living room and practice. You know?
Yep.
It wasn't my place, but we had that one kid, you know, that his mom would let us set up in their living room and practice for 1 hour.
Yep.
When there were two of us plugged into a bass amp, and then one guy had his own amp.
Man, good times.
Yeah. And so, that's that. You're right. That's not a thing anymore, man.
I wish it was, but different times nowadays. Even just I remember growing up with seeing my dad and coming up with albums. Not to get too far off the subject, but
no, it's fine.
Interesting, especially with the creation of TikTok and social media, and even through Napster. And I'm sure you've seen all this. I'm sure you're pretty close to my age, but you've seen a lot of that come to fruition. But a lot of the songs nowadays, they write hooks and put them on TikTok, and if the hooks do well, they write the rest of the song, which is so contrary to seeing my dad and watching. They literally take index cards of the songs for the albums of how to experience the album from the first song all the way through, because we actually listen to them. I mean, to the tempo, to the key, to what the message is you want to portray. It's just, it seems like that's all just now.
Yeah. That, you know what? I wasn't aware of the TikTok stuff. I mean, I did during the pandemic. I watched TikTok a lot. We all did. And I'd hear these little catchy things and I'd try and Shazam it. Like, what is that? And it was like nothing. It was just something that, and a good friend of mine, Greg Souders, who's a head of Warner Chapel A&R, he told me, he's like, yeah, that's really not my thing as an A&R guy. He goes, but it works for some people, you know?
It's funny seeing some of the concerts to what it'll be like quiet until the bridge hits and everybody sings the bridge and then it's quiet again. It's like, that's a TikTok song.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So when you left the industry, I mean, did you tour? Who did you tour with at the time?
My last tour, I was the monitor engineer and drum tech for Hailstorm.
Okay.
That was the last one. And I ended up getting fired off that tour. And I deserved to be fired. And that was one that was a very tough one. That was the moment for me.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to be interviewing Mike with Hailstorm coming up. And that's going to be a cool one, coming full circle again with it. And I'll be honest with you, man. It was very, that was a dark period. And even looking back, and I didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to share it. I just wanted to get away from it. And I didn't want to ever admit that, you know, I failed. And it was a drinking and a drug issue. And it was not something that was healthy. That was not good. And then my buddy Brian Hardeswick, so he was a buy-on with a band called Pop Evil at the time. And now he's gone on to bigger and greater things. But he invited me. He was with a band called In This Moment, and they were opening for, and they're touring with Hailstorm. He invited me to come see it. And that was going to be my first time I was going to see them since that moment. And I was so nervous and so scared to see them because they fired me off their tour.
Yeah.
So to go see him, I remember seeing RJ who's the drummer, and he saw me and he gave me a hug, and I realized like, this is all in my head. Yeah. I'm making this into a bigger issue than it was. And even with talking with Mike, and there's no hard feelings there at all, but I needed that moment to realize that like, I've got to get my life together.
Yeah.
Truly.
Was there any type of atonement? Did you go up to them and say, hey, I'm sorry that I screwed up so bad you had to fire me?
I did. But it was so me focused, and they weren't even worried about me. And it's been so long ago that I built something up so much in my head to where it was into this crazy moment. It was just no worries, and we're great. It's great to see you. Great to see you're doing well. And I mean, that was pretty close to the last time I drank, honestly.
Yeah. So when you decided to leave and you decided to get sober, and you could tell me at any point, like, I'd rather not talk about that.
No,
was it a cold turkey quit? Did you go through the steps? Did you join any?
I did not. I left that tour and I was upset, and I actually went back to my hometown. I went back and stayed with my parents, and they said, you got to do something. And I ended up deciding I was going to join the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was doing that, I still continued to drink. And there was one night I actually ended up getting, I was in training for a special programs with a buddy of mine. And we went to a bar. He ended up leaving me there, went with a couple girls and left me stranded there. So I ended up, I knew the manager of the bar is like, hey, just come to my house. I'm about, you know, a mile or two down the road. So I drove to his house, got pulled over, and blew a .09. It was like two above, and I got arrested and I got a DUI. And it took $5,000 and lawyers to eventually get it to where it got settled. And that got me, it ruined me for getting into the Air Force. So I had to go to the Navy for, and that was another decision that my parents even talked to me, like, you got to figure your life out, because this way is not going to be it. So that after that moment, I was like, I'm done. So I put my entire life into my why was, you know, I'm going to join the military. I'm going to be in the Navy, and I'm going to do this. If not, I have nowhere else to go.
Yeah. Was that a difficult transition coming from the life you were living into this structured, like you said, they're called orders for a reason. was that a difficult?
I needed it, honestly.
Yeah.
That structure helped me not wander all around, and it gave me a mission and gave me a purpose and gave me something to focus on. And that gave me, like I said, my why for it. So if I have that, I'm a very goal-oriented person. So if I at least have something I could be working towards, I'm good. And so I had to lose some weight, focused on losing weight, focused on eating healthy. And after that, focused on getting to boot camp. Went boot camp, focused on A school, and then from, I'm sorry, C school. And then from there, focused on my ship. And I had so many of these things, I just started focusing on that. And honestly, it was, I've never woken up in the morning and thought, dang, I wish I drank last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And even since I've got married, it's I'm always even with my job, I'm always a safe spot. My wife always has she knows I've never put myself in a situation where anything can be considered happening. And I've noticed that there's always these compromising situations I put myself in, especially when I was drinking.
Yeah, it that tends to happen. You know, like it's, you know, like I said, I don't want to say, I've said this before on the show, like, I don't drink. I grew up in a family who drank a lot, and so there's that whole thing. You have to separate your surroundings.
In yeah.
A
yeah.
Matter. Yeah.
No, but so, I didn't do the AA stuff. It was more of a cold turkey, but it was an extreme cold turkey. Like I moved, I changed my occupation. I like my whole life was revolving around something else. And that's why I know I keep harping the why thing, but I had to, and I've had people that I still talk to that are in the industry that they want to get sober, or they don't want to, but they know they need to. It's like, okay, well, then you're not going to. I know that your love is this. So your love, you tell me your love for this is greater for your want to be this.
Exactly. Right. So you told me earlier, you mentioned earlier, you grew up in the church.
Yeah.
You played in worship. Is that a part of your constant recovery? Because, I mean, no matter what, you're still in recovery every day, you know?
Yeah.
So do you make that a part of it?
Oh, absolutely. My faith is probably the biggest portion of that. And it's really, I know I am, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm somebody who is fails every day. But there's someone I can look up to and someone I can pray to and ask for forgiveness and take it one day at a time. Not to get too weird with stuff, but it's something that is very big for me now. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be where I'm at.
Yeah, no, man, that's not, you're not getting weird at all. I toured with a guy, on this last gig I was on on my current gig, Duran Duran, but we did a tour and he had a scripture on his arm. And I asked him, I was like, hey, can you recite that scripture for me? And he did it. And I said, so it's pretty important to you. And he's like, my faith is probably more important than everything. It keeps me. And this was at the very beginning of the tour. And by the end of the tour, like, I had fallen in love with this guy's personality because he was so, you know, there was no, what am I trying to say? There was no, like, he didn't go around preaching to you.
Yeah.
But you could just feel the goodness coming out of him.
Yeah.
You know, he's such a good guy. I'd say his name, but I don't think he'd want me to.
We'll talk offline.
yeah. We'll talk offline. There are some questions I want to ask you offline too. So.
Oh, please do.
So you got this gig, you're the brand, or what are you, like a field brand manager? Are you a rep?
I'm a rep. I'm the Georgia rep. So I handle Shure and Allen and Heath, and there's several other lines like Square V, Digital Projector, and RME. So I am the Georgia rep, and I get to work with the different dealers. So I don't sell to end users. Okay. If there's an end user that comes to me and that wants to get hooked up with the product, I can help them out and connect them with a dealer. But I have my relationship is more with those dealers to be able to help them grow their business utilizing the resources that we have.
Yeah. I have a couple of friends who work for Highway Marketing in the Dallas area. And they handle those same brands, I believe, in that area.
That's all. They're great guys. Great guys.
Yeah. Clayton Mills is probably one of my oldest friends. I don't know.
That's awesome.
But so do you dig it, what you're doing now?
It's the best job I've ever had, honestly. And I've been asked, I mean, even if this YouTube thing say, takes off, you can still do the rep thing. It's like, I love it. My passion, my true passion. I love helping people, and I love networking, and I love helping people find solutions. And I love, like I said, we're networking people with other things and helping them. So to be able to, one of my favorite shows is The Prophet, and it's got Marcus Lemonis on there. What he does is he goes to failing businesses, and he's about people, process, and product, and he helps them become a successful business. It's an all on a handshake deal. So I love those entrepreneurs like the Shark Tank and those different shows. And I just that heart of wanting to help people, and I get to do that with these different dealers. I mean, it's incredible. Even with the end users too, people who want help, I get to Houses of Worship are another ones too. That it's. Those are ones I feel that sometimes they kind of get taken advantage of sometimes.
Because they say, hey, what do you have? And they're like, this is our best.
there's two ways for that. And there's also the people that just got taken to the cleaners and didn't get a proper solution. And it's hard with technology. Technology becomes obsolete eventually. In a lot of these churches, they think of the technology like they think of the drywall or the studs. It's we bought it, why do we need it again? It's like, well, if you have your TV from downstairs from 1992, you wouldn't bring it up here, would you? And having those conversations with them of like, hey, there is obsolescence that's with technology, we'll get you a good baseline with it, but here's the things you really shouldn't skimp on, because there's a domino effect that can happen if you start skipping on that, but we'll get you at least the good foundations. And I mean that specifically for the smaller and up and coming churches.
Huh. Well, that's really cool, man. I've there was a time when I spoke to a company about becoming a rep, but I like what I do. I really do. You know, I did a lot of crappy jobs when I was younger and even into when I was older. And when I started being a tech, I thought, you know, there's so many folks out there without a job and people with jobs that they hate. And I'm getting to do this, something that I love.
You, you know? I was just talking with Burton Ishmael about this. He's the Madonna's guy about, and I think it was with Eddie Mapp too, where it's like, I have to remind myself that there's people that go to work every day to a job they hate.
Yeah.
And I am so blessed to go to work every day for a job I love.
Yeah.
And I'm passionate about, especially with this YouTube stuff. I love this. I just happen to be doing a hobby that happens to pay for itself now.
Yeah.
But the 100%. Fact that I get to, it's I feel so humbled.
Yeah. Well, let's get into that, man. This is Dela Cruz. That's how I heard about you. And man, how did you start? I don't know if you're like me. I called in a bunch of favors when I started this podcast, like people that I knew, like, hey, I'm doing this, you know. How did This is Dela Cruz start?
So it's interesting that there was a position. I was at Sweetwater once a month with Triad Orbit, and there was a position that was coming up for a creator, content creator position. And I had never done it before. I knew someone that worked there, and they had a panel of people that were getting ready to hire someone like this. And he was kind of my in, and I got to hear some information. I started, he said, we got to, submit some videos. And I did some that were not good. And he just kind of gave me some advice with it. And I, did some more videos and started, I asked a couple, but, and my buddy who was, lead singer of Tower Power, I was like, hey, do you mind if I just do this interview with you? I need someone I can just kind of riff with, and started doing that. And, I didn't hear back from them. I just started doing more videos to give them more content, and I didn't really hear much. And then I called some of my old touring buddies. The first one I did with was my buddy Scoop with Lady A. Mm-hmm. Called him, and he let me come in there. And I had to borrow my wife's iPad Pro, had my iPad Pro, put him up there and put my iPhone on there. And I used AI to edit them and had these little Rode clip-on things that we did. And it did well. And I just started messaging some of my old touring friends. And I got a couple. Once the ball started rolling, though, I noticed that people wanted this, like, hey, you should do it with this person. Or, hey, you should do it with this person. Or, this here's a cool idea, maybe this. And it kind of took off, honestly. But it all stemmed from me wanting to get a job before I got this, and I wanted to get out of the Triad Orbit stuff and do something different. And I'm very thankful that that happened. I'm thankful that they didn't tell me I had the jobs.
yeah do you find when you reach out to someone, is it usually you reaching out to someone, or does someone say, hey, can you come out here? And is it usually on location in Atlanta when they come through?
Yes. So it's me reaching out right now, and I have an Instagram that I typically reach out, and once I started getting traction, I actually started getting, I got a sponsorship, and I had people starting to reach out to me for sponsorships. And I have one, we could talk more about this offline, but there was one, a major one that they wanted me to do a proposal for them. So I had to prepare a proposal for something that was just a hobby, and I had to have answers of what I'm doing and where I'm going. And I was like, I have no freaking clue what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going with it, but I spent weeks of like, okay, what am I doing? What is this supposed to be? And I had a mentor of mine that it's like, you got to have your why. What's your back in the why again? But it's like, why? Figure that out. I spent a couple of weeks figuring that out, and then I realized that I want to tell the stories of the unsung heroes.
Yeah.
That's my why. And from there, everything. And one of his advice too was that, like, if you don't have that, you're just going to follow money and you'll just go wherever they want you to go with it. So I started doing that, and it's just been climbing and climbing and climbing to the fact of, like, now I've just been so blessed to have so many people reaching out now and wanting me to do it. And there's a few people before that I reached out to and they said no, but they're talking to me now, like, excited about doing it. I'm like, yes, come on now.
That's the best feeling, right?
Let's do this, man. Yeah. And I've been so humbled, tremendously humbled, that just people even reaching out and say, hey, will you come and can I do a interview with you? But it's just been, the good thing about being in Atlanta is everybody comes to Atlanta, Nashville, or Greenville.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I now have a crew of people, and I've got a couple guys who volunteered in the very beginning and said, hey, we believe in this, and when you start getting paid, can we be your first one you phone call? And I was like, absolutely. So I've got a camera guy, I've got an editor, I've got an audio guy, And for the bigger ones that are sponsored, I pay them for that. And it's been great. But right now it's just, it has enough of a momentum to where if there's somebody I want to do, I'll just message him on Instagram or just text a buddy and say, hey, could you hook me up with this person?
Yeah. Do you ever feel weird reaching out to somebody?
Depends on who it is. But it's been pretty chill. There's a couple of big ones that I'm in the process of working with right now. That is just, it's been weird. Some of these people were my idols looking up to, and I looked up to them that like, now I get to call them friends and text them. And I just am blown away that these people are even in my phone and wanting to be involved with what, with that is just,
yeah.
I mean, I remember I was at AES Nashville, and I was talking with my buddy Jesse, who is the monitors for Offspring. I was sitting there talking with him. I look at my phone, I see I'm getting a Facebook call from Toby Francis, and I was like, and I showed it to him. He's like, you should probably take that. I'm like, I'm gonna take this.
Right.
So just people like, I just did one with Robert Scoville. To be able to talk with Robert is amazing. For even Pooch to say he's interested, for Chris Rabel, for all the, it's like,
yeah,
these are the people that were up there. I remember, I don't know if you know who Bob Strakel is. He's with Avenged Sevenfold and Slipknot. I remember looking up to him a lot. And I remember one day seeing him and just wanting to maybe meet him. But now that I get to call him and talk to him and we're actually sharing ideas, and it's like, that just,
yeah.
I'm going to be forever grateful. Even if nothing else comes from this, that was awesome.
No, man, I can relate. You know, when I started this, I don't know if you know Steve Castro. He's actually a backline guy, Hootie and the Blowfish, Sugarland. He's done a lot, but he was like a mentor to me early when I started touring, a guy who kind of took me under his wing. And I mentioned him a lot on this podcast when I talked to other techs, and I'm like, why haven't I asked him? And it was strictly for the fact that I was worried he'd say no. and then Dallas Hsu, who's been the Edges guy for almost 40 years, you know.
Wow.
Somebody like you, like I looked up to him, and then he, one day at breakfast, they said, I just did the Sphere, and I said, hey, I've got this show, this pod, and I'm real shy about it. Like, hey, maybe you'd want it. And he's like, man, let's do it today. You know,
that's awesome.
You know, so it's, I get it, man. Like, I get that feeling when they say no, or when they say no, and then they reach back out, and go, hey, maybe I'm ready to do it. You
well,
know,
everybody that, There was two people that have said thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has reached out to me, and it looks like we're going to do a video with him. The other one was just, I ended up meeting him at another interview I was doing, and we got to talk a little bit more. And I just realized it was more of his personality. It was like, he told me like, hey, I don't want to feel like an idiot in front of this. And once he understood like, hey, this is what I'm doing, it's just more conversation. And I just want to tell your story. A lot of people do rig rundowns, and we'll get to equipment. We're all nerds. We'll get there, but I care more about you and what you and how you got there. I think people relate to that more.
Exactly. And I think that's where you and I are alike. You know, I do a lot of roadies, a lot of techs, and then I do like artists. I do independent musicians, you know, cats like that. But I just want to know their story. Being nosy. I just want to know their story anyway. But then I realized, hey, man, there's a whole audience of people who just want to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and they love it. You know, they love it. I do a lot of guitar builders too.
That's awesome.
So what, when you show up on a gig, is it just a conversation? Do you have stuff prepped that you want to ask them, or is
Yes and no, and I'm trying to get better at this, to be candid with you about it. There's some questions that I know that people just want to know, but honestly, a lot of it's just been riffing on the spot and just having conversation back and forth. But I will say this was harder than I thought to do. For the fact of like, we're doing it on location. That's kind of the special part about this is that we don't do the screen stuff. We're actually there. So, I mean, you've toured, you get it. There's only like windows of time, and everything on tour changes anyway. So it's like, okay, we're going now, or we got to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
So that part's been tough, but also having conversations and keeping them flowing and lining up the next question in my mind while trying to pay attention to what they're saying. And then I'll get focused on that. And like, crap, I was going to ask that. But it's okay to stop sometimes and just collect yourself and get to it. But I've been trying to, my next phase in this is I want my followers to have more interaction with it. So I'm going to be reaching out to them more and saying, hey, what do you guys want to know? So I'm working on building a website to where they're going to, I'm going to do a newsletter to where the guys who follow will know a day or two, like, hey, this is the person I'm interviewing.
Yeah.
What questions? And I'll be able to ask that on camera. Like, hey, this person wants to know this. What are your thoughts to it? But honestly, it's just been kind of riffing on the fly and just kind of seeing where things go, or if we want to go walk around, we'll go walk around.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I get it. The doing it on location. I know Lisa and I did a few on the last Duran tour where we interviewed a couple of the techs and a couple of the band members on location. And it was like, yeah, we could do it on Friday, you know, and then sound check runs long. Oh no, can we do it tomorrow? And you know, so we've had to learn this way of doing it via Zoom. It has worked best for us, you know, but we're the same way. Like, we're sitting here talking to you and you say something that triggers us and you're like, I want to ask about that right now, but you're still going. And then by the time you finish, like, oh, let me ask you about something else completely different. But, you know, we're learning. And like I said, when we started this a little over 3 years ago, we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know, we were coming out of the pandemic. And, but, you know, this is a labor of love for us. You know, we love doing it. We love talking to people.
I remember there was Phil Bledsoe. I was doing an interview with him. He's front of house for Sam Hunt, and his audio package was on the backline truck, and the backline truck was running late, and it wasn't going to show up until like 5 minutes before doors. And I'm sitting here looking at it, and it's like, dude, I don't know how we're going to, if it was me, I'd be freaking out. I was like, no, let's do it. Let's do it now. And we're sitting there and he's so calm during this interview with no console. Obviously we talked about the elephant in the room being no console with it. But he said something to me that I'll never forget. And he said, and I was asking about how do you keep your cool through all this? And if it was me, I'd be stressed out. And he said, I'm paid to be here for an hour and a half, but I'm hired for the 22 and a half hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, meaning that you're hired for everything around that. So you could sit here and freak out about that, but I mean, and then also Bob, he said, Bob Strakel, he said, what was it? I do the show for free, but you're paying me to be away from my family.
Yeah.
Like that was good too.
I've had to use that one too. Like, you're paying me to leave. In the beginning, I'd be like, please, I'll do it for free.
Yep.
I just want to be on the road. And now, you know, almost 20 years in, I'm like, yeah. Well, what do you plan on for This Is Dela Cruz, man? What are the plans for that?
Man, there's a few things that we're working on. I could probably tell you a little bit more offline with some of them because we're kind of working through it. But I will say this. We've been doing TikTok. TikTok has been really launching. I mean, I've been doing a lot of lives. And I mean, we did Pantera and I was live there and I had almost 50,000 people on for that. And I did one with Madonna. We had like, I don't know, 13 or 16,000 people on for it. And I've noticed the number one question I get is, how do I get started? And who's hiring? And where do I go for school for this? We're playing around with that idea of being able to, my why, helping, telling the story of the unsung heroes, and maybe be able to help with some mentorship or be able to help with some education. So those are kind of some of the things we're playing around with right now and figuring out what's the best way to do that. But we're also looking at, I've had requests from artists, surprisingly, that want to tell their story of their live production. So one of the things I'm rolling around my head is from studio to stage. And what does it look like from that song to actually performing? When do you, I mean, what do you look for when you hire engineers? What do you look for when you do a crew? What's your thought process in going into actually performing it, doing the lights, the entire theme behind that? So we're looking at possibly also going into that avenue of telling the story of these members, but still telling the story of the engineers and how they got there. So what are the artists actually looking for that? So those are a couple of things we have, but I've got 57 bands lined up right now. So, I mean, having a marriage and also doing this rep thing and also doing this social media thing, it's a lot. So I have been the interesting thing, and I'm sure you'll relate to this a little bit too, is that with this social media stuff, there's no course for it. There's no there's no career path for it. I'm just figuring it out as I go. I have no clue what I'm doing. I look back at the videos and go, eesh, maybe I shouldn't do that. Or here's an idea. But I've got some mentors that I've now brought in that helping me with the vision and staying on track. Cause I could be a little scattered. I'll just throw things at the wall and waste money at different ideas, but to help me keep me focused and on track with this is, they've been so incredible. But I'm sorry, I'm trying to be vague with the future, but I think this is, we're not doing much this month, but next month I've got, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 interviews I'm doing. And I'm just trying to take these on right now and see what happens.
I know, man. Well, all that sounds amazing. I love your channel.
Appreciate it.
And, you know, even being a tech, I love to hear about other techs, you know, on the road and to hear their story, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I look forward to seeing, to watching more and to catching up with you.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Yeah, it's been great. I mean, this has been awesome to be able to even do something like this. Really?
Yeah, I know when I asked you, you were like, no one's really asked me.
This is my first one I've done. So wow, cool. I would love to sit and talk. I mean, it's so fun to be able to, it's weird being on the opposite side of this because usually I'm asking the questions. Yeah, so, yeah.
Put you in the hot seat.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? And this is De La Cruz online. Do you have everything?
Everything is either Nick De La Cruz or This is De La Cruz. So you can YouTube Nick De La Cruz and it'll pop up. You can see me on Facebook at Nick De La Cruz, Instagram. And everything's under This is De La Cruz, but you can look at Nick De La Cruz and it'll pop up.
It'll bring it up. And
yeah.
Okay. I do thank you for your time today, Nick.
No, thank you.
You know, like I said, I know I cold called you.
No, it was great. Thank you. It's the honor is really mine.
Our podcast, it's called Is Breakfast Included? And you know that term.
Yeah.
If we were having breakfast, what would you have?
Ooh, I'm a waffle guy. I love waffle. But here's my thing. I don't like syrup. I like butter and those at Waffle House. There's the peanut butter chips on there. So that's my... Some eggs and bacon. Call it a day. What about you?
You're in Waffle House country right now.
Yes.
I'm originally from Texas, where there's like a Waffle House on every corner. So
I will say one thing I cannot get with is the chicken and waffles. I can't get on that bandwagon. Syrup doesn't belong on chicken, and gravy does not belong on waffles.
You want to know something about chicken and waffles? The best chicken and waffles I ever had, and this is going to be blasphemy in some people's minds, was at Crossroads Kitchen. It's an all vegan place in California, and it's the best chicken and waffles
ever. It's not chicken.
I know, right? I know, right? It was a waffle, but it wasn't chicken.
What's your breakfast?
Pancakes, man. Pancakes with a side of bacon.
But waffles—they have the convenient little squares to hold your happiness in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, believe me, the waffles, if I can have both, I'm even happier. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and it was good talking to you.
Man, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Right on, Nick De La Cruz. Man, I told you, really interesting guy, right? And has done so much in his short time really, really, really good dude, man. I think we connected and we're going to be friends. Check him out online. This is Dela Cruz on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Nick Dela Cruz on Facebook. If you can't find it under Nick Dela Cruz, look under This is Dela Cruz. It's one or the other. But he's out there. Check him out. See what he's doing. Support him. Subscribe to his page. Yeah. And while you're online, check out isbreakfast.com, right? Hey, I can't let you leave without asking you to subscribe to our page. You know, do some smash into the likes, comments, subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you listen to. Go to our store, man. Buy a shirt. You know you want one. Even if you have one, I bet you've wore it so much, you know, representing that it's time for you to get another one. Pants, I'm talking to you. And again, thank you to our sponsor, Tone Shop Guitars. ToneShopGuitars.com. On your first order, if you use the code BREAKFAST15, you will receive 15% off. And like I said, if you tell them Bernie and Lisa sent you, they're going to give you a free shirt. Make sure you let them know what size. All right, guys, I am done. Have a great day, and we're going to talk to you next week.